Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have six rounds in the magazine. Round number one, one capital V veteran is spending his time on something really worthwhile. He will not rest until the Associated Press's style guide writes their wrong and makes the word veteran a proper noun. Round number two, liberal vultures are doing everything they can to stop the border wall from being built. They are shitting and pissing their asses all over a radio tower in South Texas. What does that mean? Well, a shit ton. Round number three, NASA just introduced the newest graduates from their astronaut school. Is that what it's called? Astronaut school? Anyway, one of their new graduates has the most impressive resume you will ever see. Round number four, the Space Force announced their enlisted rank structure, and it is absolutely incredible. I'm going back on my promise that we wouldn't talk about the Space Force. We have to. Round number five, due to the devastating fires across Australia, their military has stepped up in a huge way. One of those ways, beer. We'll tell you about one of the lottest stories coming from down under. And round number six, we're huge animal people on the pod. And Kate, welcome the new family member. It's time for a little cat chat, everybody. A little bit of cat chat. And today that's going to be brought to you by our good friends at CBDMD. Because if you don't have a brand new cat that's hanging out at your house with the ability to purr and just meow and make you feel relaxed, you might want to go with CBD because they have tinctures, they have bath bombs, they have all different types of stuff that you can take and you can enjoy to take just a little bit of the edge off. CBD blends 500 milligrams of high quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, wow, that sounds fancy, and other sleep-promoting ingredients that help a powerful and effective sleep aid. You could talk about all the rest that you're going to get, but you might want to get some actual rest. I know a lot of veterans out there, a lot of active duty members struggle with sleep. You might want to try some CBDMD, and you could do it at the low, low cost, because right now you can get it for cheaper. CBDPM or any of the CBDMD's premium CBD oil products they're offering to our listeners at 25% off on your next order when you use the promo code ZBT at CBDMD.com. Once again, that's Charlie Bravo Delta, Mike Delta.com. Promo code ZBT for 25% off your high-quality CBD oil. Con's going to stay quiet for a little bit because we have some important things to talk about. I'll let Con's know when he can talk. Until then, he is going to shut the fuck up and not say anything. Good to go? All right, good. You know what? Let's just get into the show today. We'll just start off with round number one because we are packed. Six rounds of the magazine. We usually have four or five. Today we have six. Lots of stuff to talk about. We'll get into it right now. What do we got first up, Catherine?
Round number one, big V veterans, mm-hmm. my friend. Now, mm-hmm. I've always been a big V veteran. I've been more of a wide set V veteran from what I've been told. But big V veteran all around could be coming down the pipe for everybody. And this is because a title that is earned but not recognized in print is something Patch Baker is on a mission to change from KUTV. The nearly 15-year veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps started a petition to the Associated Press to adopt the usage of capital V written in communication about veterans. The AP style guide does not acknowledge the word veteran as a proper noun or title for a person who served in the military. Baker believes that being a veteran is a capital V type deal and has earned a title as much as being a CEO, elected official, or active duty serviceman. He said, Marines earn the title of Marine when they cross the parade deck on graduation day. Forever after, the title of Marine is capitalized and acknowledged as a proper noun, and so should veteran. Baker said what influenced his decision to start a petition on change.org was editing to an article that he authored for entrepreneur.com that changed all the capital V's he wrote to lowercase. Can you imagine
you
how
You know this guy is fucking triggered.
Did this dude just change?
What the hell?
Did you change my V's to lowercase?
What the fuck is this? How dare you? First, like, because you know it comes back like an official, whenever you're writing for an official site, we don't do it, we just do WordPress. But when it comes back from an editor, they have the little red squiggly with the little line and Y, it's like capital, like V. He's like, no, how dare you? How dare this libcook? Oh my God.
This libcook software. You know that Patch had the word veteran in that article 10,000 times too. So that was a whole lot of V's that got lowercased. His article was published with an editor's note that read, editor's note, the word veteran was capitalized throughout this article because Patch believes it should be. Veteran should be a proper title because title is earned and Patch is leading the charge to make it so.
So and anyway. I know I'm saying this as a guy whose pen name is Chaps, but you can't take anything that a dude named Patch says.
It's true.
Like, Patch, go by your real name. Unless you, if your family named you Patch, you got more issues with that than you do with being a lowercase veteran.
People had trouble even taking a certain doctor I know, one Patch Adams, seriously.
Oh,
so
brick
it's
by
tough.
Brick, Patch the Adams. But brick one thing, brick. One of these things that he mentions and it goes on to say is that he thinks that this capital V should also extend to combat. Does it combat veterans or not? Doesn't matter. Even if you spent one day, well, no shit, dude. Like you're really throwing the non-combat veterans a bone, like you would have to be a combat veteran to get the capital V. What are we even talking about?
This is one of those things when I hate even saying it because one of those cliche terms, but the veteran-civilian divide, this is one of those things driving a wedge in that divide. This is, I know a lot of civilians probably don't feel like they can say it out loud, but I bet you thousands of eyes collectively rolled, both military and civilian. I know we all had a field day with it. All the veterans I know, both right and left side of the fence on Twitter this weekend, were like, get the fuck out of here, Patch.
I think
Patch.
I have a solution.
What?
Just make Marines lowercase.
Whoa.
Triggered! Now, I believe, I know it was like this for a while. I believe Marine is the only one of all the different titles that actually is a proper noun. Like if you do soldier, airman, or sailor, it's all lowercase in the style guide. But Marine is capitalized. It's the only one.
I just hate, like, it goes in with this, like, blind hero worship, I think, of military and veterans. Like, oh, it's meant to be. No, dude. It's like, I just hate it. I think it adds to the distance and puts us up on this pedestal that, like, sure, it's great that you're a veteran, but, like, it does not need this, like, I can't believe this software lowercase to my V's type attitude. This is insane.
And with all, like, due respect to my guy Patch here, like, we were making fun of him, you know, like, because this is, he seems like a really capable fella. Like, 15
yes,
years
for sure.
In, he's writing for entrepreneurial.com, he's doing things. Pick something else to spend your
right.
time on. Like,
yeah.
Do something worthwhile for the community. This is not worthwhile. Who gives a fuck?
Like,
honestly, if you
spaces.
Give a shit about this, what is going on? You have a pretty damn good life if your concern is punctuation.
Right. There's bigger issues in the veteran community. And also, once it becomes a proper noun, you can't use it playing Scrabble anymore, my friend. Or bananagrams or any of the word games. So say goodbye to veteran.
Point.
So
yeah,
we'll
and then imagine the blowback that Words with Friends would get whenever they go back and you try to type in veteran. They're like, absolutely not.
They'll have to retroactively change all the scores on that game.
Well, I think you would still be good because you can use veteran as an adjective. So you should still
Like a veteran baseball player.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I still hate it. That's all.
All right, let's move on to round two. Round number two, U.S. Customs and Border Protection has a problem with vultures. Specifically, roughly 300 of them are defecating and urinating all over a radio tower that the agency needs to communicate. And this story comes to us from our good friends at Stars and Stripes. Well, I don't know if they would say they were good friends. We're pals, right? Like, I always say we're good friends with other organizations. I don't have any beef with them, but it's not like I go out and drink with fucking Stars and Stripes.
What if Stars and Stripes heard us say that and they all look at each other in their journalism room and they're like, ooh, oh, that's awkward.
I mean, some of them might, honestly.
Yeah.
Some would be like, oh, ZBT people, man, they're the fucking worst.
Who knows?
So all the shit and piss is coating an entire 320-foot tower in southern Texas, including the interior part that workers need to touch, according to a request for information that the agency sent to vendors. The government is seeking vulture deterrence netting system to be installed in August before the birds' roosting season. Kate, have you ever had an issue at a house that you've stayed at or lived in where birds are nesting and they're like migratory birds that come back every year?
No, never had a problem with that. But if you look certain New York City subway, the ones there's like puddles of bird shit underneath specific spots. And I think too, like on we were talking about the airplane hangars recently where they had to get them super poop sealed to keep the birds from shitting on the planes.
Or no,
like
they
that.
Assigned airsoft guns and they were
shooting the pigeons out. Because the pigeons were shitting on the planes. Like the bird shit is acidic, so it's a real problem. Have you had a problem with the birds?
Buddy, yes, I have. So I have this awning in front of my house that whenever you walk in, there's like a little passageway to my front door. And up on the inside of that, constantly, because there's a little brick that extends out, a row of bricks that extends out to make like an archway. Well, there has constantly, since I moved in, been a group of birds that nest there. And they come in there, there would be like five, and they are so loud whenever they come in. When McCartney was a baby, they used to wake her up. And I would go out there like Forrest Gump. Mama would sweep them off with a broom. I would come out with a broom and like try to scare them. I had to put up all this netting to get them out of there because there was so much shit. There's still spots now. I've had my entire driveway pressure washed and things like that. The bird poop is so strong that it like ate through some of the concrete. So I could totally see what's going on with this radio tower. And the radio tower is a pretty important spot because it's a huge one that's designed to have all these CBD people or CBP people talk to each other on the radio. And they say that the birds will often defecate and vomit from their roost onto buildings below house employees and equipment. There are anecdotes about birds dropping prey from a height of 300 feet, creating a terrifying and dangerous situation. So these bird vultures are huge. So they could be going by with, say, like, say you hit a rabbit or something like that whenever you're driving down one of these Texas highways. They'll grab a rabbit, and whenever they go, they'll drop it right on people's houses. So all these birds are staying here because it's a 320-foot perch for them to able to identify where any of the like roadkill is and shit.
Prime real estate for a lib vulture shitting all over the
especially
border patrol
we don't have 320-foot perches that often here in Texas. It's very low.
I just love that this is... It says they're regurgitating a reeking and corrosive vomit that kills bacteria on their legs but slowly destroys metal. Oh, my God. I love birds, but, man, that is a rough look. Like, oh, this vomit cleans my legs. Might destroy your house, but it's fine. What are they going to do? And so if they put up the nets, is it people are upset that they might put up the nets now probably?
I mean, you're probably going to have the environmentalists that want the birds to just be able to do whatever they want to, but they're going in. This radio tower is pretty important for like security of Texas, like where you need to have it. I don't know how you stop this because once that, just like mine, the only thing, maybe they'll do the same thing I did. I got this bird goo that I put all over the brick on the front of my house, and it's basically just the stickiest shit known to man, and birds hate when it gets in their feathers. I hope animal rights people will come after me. If this is fucked up, I don't know. Yeah. I plead ignorance.
I mean, you're protecting your property. I think you should be within your rights to keep.
So there's this goo
the
that you dump all over it. Imagine how much goo you would need for a 320-foot radio tower. First of all, you're going to need all those Lance Corporals that are building the wall. They're going to need to go and clean. They're going to field day this radio tower. There's no doubt in my mind. This is a Lance Corporal job.
Imagine being a Lance Corporal that's afraid of birds and heights.
Yeah, and you get like these horrible vultures and this. You show up to work and there's just like a bucket of bird goo with your name on it. You're like, fuck.
Oh, well. Give me 18 Marines right now to go up on the radio tower to clean off this corrosive bird vomit and shit. We need bird to get rid of it right damn now.
Well, birds, go birds. Look at you guys just
making go birds.
A ruckus. Go birds, dude. Go birds. Fly, all right. Fly.
Let's move on to round three. All right, round number three, we just kind of want to give a huge shout out. This is different than what we normally do. Normally, there's like a story behind it that we want to talk about and things like that. This is not the case here. I just was incredibly impressed whenever I was going through Twitter this weekend and saw this story come up. You were too, right, Kate?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And before we even get into this one single person, after 2 years of basic training, 6 women and 7 men were chosen from a record-breaking 18,000 applicants. And we're going to talk about one of them in a second. But they come from backgrounds of scientists, engineers, doctors. They're some of the best of the best. And this year, was the first year it's ever been half women. And also, they have five people of color, the first Iranian-American astronaut who flew combat missions in Afghanistan and holds an engineering degree from MIT. They just have, like, the most, I think, diverse class that they've ever had. But one of them in particular, I mean, of this group, for somebody to stand out, holy shitballs. So,
and it's just unbelievable just to get through that. How many applicants did you say there was? 18,000?
18,000.
Huh. Yeah. 18,000 to come out and actually go through and graduate is impressive. I'm sure every single one of the astronauts that made it through, they obviously have an incredible resume just to be selected to be an astronaut. But we wanted to talk about one very specifically, and his name is Dr. Johnny Kim. He was selected by NASA to join the 2017 astronaut candidate class, and he reported for duty in August of 2017, having completed the initial astronaut candidate training and is now eligible for mission assignment. So this is where we kind of get into his resume. And it is, if there was a movie that came about this guy, you would never believe that somebody could do all of this stuff. Here right. we go. A U.S. Navy SEAL, well, that's one. He was a Navy SEAL. Kim completed more than 100 combat operations, is the recipient of a Silver Star and a Bronze Star with Combat V. Kim was commissioned as a naval officer through an enlisted officer program and earned his degree in mathematics at the University of San Diego. You're like, oh, University of San Diego, good school. But, I mean, that's not crazy impressive. And then he got a doctorate of medicine at Harvard Medical School. Now, we don't do too much straight up just bio stuff, but I feel like we need to with this fella. He was born and raised in Los Angeles, California to a Korean American immigrant. He enjoys spending his time doing outdoor activities, academic and professional mentoring, strength training, and lifelong learning. He holds advanced scuba, and you're going to find out in just a second where he got that training for advanced scuba. Kim enlisted in the Navy as a seaman recruit after graduating high school in 2002. That's right. One of the newest astronauts is started as an enlisted person. Imagine going to him, Kim walking into a recruiting office in California and him being like, well, what's your goals? Well, I would like to go to BUDS and become a Navy SEAL. And then after that, I'm gonna commission after getting some really high decorated awards for bravery and valor.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go on to graduate college. And then I'm going to go to Harvard Medical to specialize in emergency medicine, not just regular medicine, and emergency medicine, because I'm going to spend a lot of my time on the battlefield helping Navy SEALs while also being a fucking sniper. Let's continue on.
Jesus. Boy, am I an inadequate piece of shit.
After completion of his corpsman training, he reported his SEAL training in California. After completing his training at the Naval Special Warfare School, Kim reported to school in Fort Bragg for the Special Operations Combat Medic course. He was assigned to Special Warfare Operator to SEAL Team 3 and Charlie Platoon in San Diego, California, where he obtained various qualifications, including, this guy, military freefall parachutist, combatant diver. That's the one where they have the closed circuit where you're not doing scuba, where you can see the bubbles, like the bubbles go back in, so it's called a rebreather. The Navy Special Warfare Training Reconnaissance Scout and Sniper School, and the Advanced Special Operation Techniques. Kim served as a Special Operations Combat Medic. Like, that's not enough doing that with a SEAL. He also had the comma before that because he had the title of sniper, navigator, Jeez. And port man on more than 100 combat operations spanning two deployments to the Middle East, including Ramadi. And at that time, when he went, Ramadi was basically the Wild West, and Sadr City. He was commissioned as a naval officer through the Navy's enlisted commissioning program. He graduated from the University of San Diego in 2012. Upon graduation, he went to Harvard Medical School in 2016. He began his medical internship with Harvard-affiliated Emergency Medicine Residency. And at the time of his astronaut selection in 2017, he was a resident physician in emergency medicine with Partners Healthcare at Massachusetts General Women's Hospital, and he remains on active duty as a lieutenant. If somebody wrote that story to me and emailed me, I was like, that is the biggest stolen valor son of a bitch I have ever heard. There's no way you would believe ZBT, any of that things.
ZBT, my sister's boyfriend saying XYZ, and we'd be like, he's a fucking liar.
Something like you'd read it in a Tinder bio. Okay, is this guy lying to me?
Dump his ass. He sounds like a loser.
Imagine you're at a bar. Because, you know, like astronauts, picture whenever they're walking out to Armageddon and they're wearing their orange flight suits and shit like that. Yeah. Imagine this guy has just like a bomber jacket, but it's an orange one, but it also has the sealed trident with a silver star and a bronze star hanging off. You'd be like, okay, bitch, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that's absolutely. And by the way, do you know what they call? So in this photo, the what's 7 plus 6? 13?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So nailed there's 13 it. Of them out of the 18,000.
We're talking about a guy who's a Navy SEAL. Whoa.
What's 7 plus 6?
So anyway, these 13 make it through out of 18,000. And then they make it through this two-year training cycle, and then they get their class photo taken. They're wearing these blue flight jumpsuits as, like, their training. Guess what they call them? Their version of boots.
What?
Like a boot astronaut. They call them turtles for some reason. I don't know why.
That's adorable.
But it says the group, known as turtles, wore blue flight jumpsuits and took turns approaching their stadium to receive their astronaut pins. Holy shit, to get an astronaut pin. My goodness. I felt good getting my little... good conduct ribbon. So, what yeah. can I say?
So, my question is, so you, SEAL school, Harvard Med, now astronaut school, which is the hardest?
I would think there'd
like,
be
what's, if this gigantic
levels.
Journey he's on, which part did he struggle with the most? Because they're all super hard. Any one of them would be most people's single greatest accomplishment. He did all three. Which one did he struggle with the most?
I don't know. We're going to have to get this dude on the pod. I don't reach out to a lot of official organization. I would like to talk to every single one of those astronauts that just went through. Because just the big brain that you have to – just to have the audacity to think that you could do astronaut training, to me, that's one of the most audacious claims that you can have. Like when people go through and they sign up for medical school and they're like, you know what? I want to be a brain surgeon, or you know what? I want to be a rocket scientist. The audacity – that you have to do that is crazy. To do all three of these things is nuts. It is nuts to me. I cannot imagine going through all that. Shout out to Dr. Kim, Lieutenant Kim, whatever you want to call him. Also, promote his ass. He's only an 03? My yeah. God.
Like, yeah, that's, I mean, what energy. My
I mean,
goodness.
Because think he gets still gets paid as an 03. So this dude is doing all this stuff and probably makes $85,000 a year.
Also, he looks like, I'm just going to say, he looks like a fucking model. Like, put this guy
and
in a dress uniform, I mean, put him on a poster, and he will get people to sign
him. That's just the most believable thing ever. He's just got alpha written all
yeah,
over him.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, imagine we go to San Diego or something like that for a little ZBT trip, and you like to hop on Bumble from time to time. Imagine this fella pops up on Bumble.
I would just swipe him away because I'd be like, too good. File this under too good for me.
If I had Bumble, I wouldn't just swipe right, my friends. I would lick right on this
I'd be
bad
like,
boy.
Nope, he's way too good for me. My goodness. Yeah, it's crazy. A lot of, a couple of military people, as per usual, there's always military people making through this group. But Indian American Raja Shari, an Air Force colonel and aeronautical engineer, Frank Rubio, medical doctor and Black Hawk pilot. So just so many people that are so much smarter and better than me. Wow. Yeah. Good job.
But where's their podcast on the ranking?
Yeah,
honestly.
Where's your podcast, Boots? Turtles. Where's your podcast, Turtles?
So. All right, let's talk about some people that we might be able to compete with a little bit more. We're going to do that in round number four. Round number four, we came across this exclusive information. It hasn't even been revealed on many widespread news agencies, but we had it here first. The rank structure has gone in. Kate, did you ever struggle learning rank structures of different branches?
Oh my God, yes. You know me, you knew all the ins and outs of the military right away, and you still remember them all perfectly, like customs and courtesies and this and that. Like, you still remember movements on the drill field. Me, I just floated along and got lucky sometimes. I did nothing. I never absorbed a damn thing. Couldn't land nav right through the end. Sometimes I just faked it till I made it. Now, rank structure was one of them. I was the one saluting those like ROTC Navy kids with the shiny, shiny ranks in the chow hall. Like, oh, good morning, sir. That sir looks like he's 15. But I was still like just a mess. So even within the Marine Corps for a hot minute. It took me a long time to get it sorted out.
Can I try to do the Marine Corps structure? I think I know it, but I'm not
sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's private, right? Private.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Then private first class.
Yes.
Yep.
Then specialist.
Nope.
No.
No?
That's
we don't have specialists in ours.
Yeah.
So then it's Lance Corporal after
yes.
PFC. Yep.
Yes.
Right? I should know that. And then Corporal.
Yeah.
Then Sergeant. Then mm-hmm. Staff
yep.
Sergeant.
Yeah.
And what's that? That's a Gunny. Six? Gunnery Sergeant.
Yes.
Then Captain, then General?
Nope. Those
Pretty
are
much.
Officers.
I
so
would say yes.
Gunnery Sergeant, Master Sergeant, or First Sergeant is E8. And then you have Master Gunnery Sergeant or Sergeant Major is E9. So there's
right.
there's two okay. different titles you could have. Not bad, though, Brett. Not bad at all.
I know.
So we're going to get into.
I still feel like I should know that more.
No,
the new branch of service, the Space Force, is going to have their own. And it came out different because I think. For me, the hardest of all the different rank structures to learn is Navy officers, because the other three branches of service, they're all the same. So you start second lieutenant, first lieutenant, captain. The Air Force, the Army, and the Navy are the Air Force, the Army, and the Marine Corps all use the same ones. The Navy uses a different rank structure. So the Space Force has their own, and they are the first ones that has changed up really. All the titles. So their E1, I want to get your thoughts on this, Kate, is going to be called Starman Basic. What do you think about that?
My only problem is that like I wish that we were moving away from calling people man. I wish it was star person.
Star
basic.
Person.
Star yeah. person basic.
All right,
STP, so, star person, STBB.
Okay, but so I'll E2. E2 is going to be Starman.
Okay.
E3 is going to be Starman First Class. E4, they have kind of an Air Force structure here because that's you have basic airmen, first class would be the E1 through 3
right.
and the Air
so
Force
Starman.
2. And then they have senior Starman. Now, E5 is where I really like the E5 structure. I'm not sure how I feel through E4, but their NCO and senior NCO ranks I really like. E5 is Staff Sergeant mm-hmm. instead of Sergeant.
It makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. E6 is going to be Technical Sergeant. Then E7 is going to be Mastro Sergeant,
oh,
which
like
I really
Mastronaut.
Like. Yeah. Yeah. Mastronaut. Yeah, that's right. E7 is Mastronaut. E8 is Senior Mastronaut. And then E9, and I think this is the one that everybody's going to really shoot for. They have, what is it, Kate?
Space Chief.
Space Chief is the E9.
And you know what? You shoot for the moon. If you miss, you still hit the stars. And with that, eventually, you could become a space chief, I think. I wrote a jingle for this. I feel like this whole thing, I love it. People might shit on it at first and be like, Starman, what?
Oh, not
but
me, no. I would never shit on the Space Force.
If I'm at a bar and somebody's like, yeah, I'm a Starman First Class, we're going to Pound Town. That's very cool. So think of it that way, you know?
Let's move on to round 5.
Oh, God damn it. Round number 5, an Australian hotel received a shipment of nearly 800 gallons of beer on Friday as wildfires continue to rage across the country. And we've been talking about this a lot. I know here at Barstool we adopted a koala for our boss. Mm-hmm. Like over a billion with a B animals wiped out in this thing. I mean, thousands and thousands of people losing their homes. It's the worst fire season that they've pretty much ever had. But in Australia, at these difficult times, the pub is at the heart of regional communities, and a pub with no beer, bad in even the best of times. After what Mallacoota residents and fires have been through, the least we could do is make sure they enjoy a beer, said a brewery, Carlton and United Brewery CEO Peter Filipovic. Carlton and United Breweries confirmed that the shipment was delivered to the HMAS Cerberus Naval Base on Thursday. The Australian Navy then took the beer on a nearly day-long trip until it arrived in Mallacoota, Victoria, late Friday. So somehow they found out, this beer CEO found out that this town in the middle of the fires who was just really struggling was completely out of beer. Because I'm sure, like, roads are cut off, shipping is cut off, like, things must be so difficult and so tight right now. Beer is probably the least of their concerns. So I think these little creature comforts of being able to sit down at the pub after a long day or sit down and commiserate or check resources and everything, because a pub can be such a community hub.
And just have a second where you can get your brain right, like where you can kind of relax. Because I imagine these shifts that these firefighters, these Australian Navy, the Australian soldiers, what they're going through right now has got to be horrific. I mean, if you've been around fires for a long period of time, you know how draining that is, how much water you have to consume. So at the end of the day, whenever you're seeing horrific things like all these animals that are dying, all these different houses that are getting destroyed, trying to tell people to get the fuck out of there, and then be able to go to a pub at the end of your long day, and even if it's just one beer, to sit down on a stool after a long day and just sip on one beer has got to be life-changing. But these people also know what this looks like. They know that it looks could look terrible, so they were smart and they got out in front of it and said, look, none of the beer is occupying any space necessary for essential supplies. Nothing was offloaded that was important to accommodate the beer. We had space for the beer, so we brought the beer, which I think is a brilliant move. It's a great move.
Yeah, and it's nice, too, to know the Navy took an entire day to bring that stuff up there, and I think it just means something to people. We're not forgotten. They remember that we're going through this tough time right now, and it's just a nice... it's just a nice thing to do, I think. So the breweries also are committed to raising more than $1 million for communities affected by the fires and have already given a $250,000 donation. So amongst all the horrible stuff that's happening there right now, definitely a very cool thing. Very
shout
cool
out to the American firefighters that were loaned over to Australia as kind of like a reciprocal action, because Australia always loans their firefighters over to the Californians whenever Californians are battling the wildfires that ravage them every season. So
yeah, that's a cool
nice
videos.
Thing that we got going on. Yeah,
very cool videos that come
and
out.
We know that
cheers
people
to them.
And we know people from different militaries all across the world listen to this show too, and so we know that there's probably some Australians that are listening. And what those people are doing, almost all of their National Guard got called up to fight these fires. There's so many people out there trying to help. The stories have been horrific. I don't like to be too sad sack Sally on this show, but like Kate said, billions of animals dying and they're having to dig mass graves, and what that must do to your mental state would be absolutely horrible. But we always look for the helpers, like our good friend Fred Rogers said, and one of those helpers is a group of nearly 20,000 people in England have banded together to start knitting different like sweaters and blankets and little papooses for the kangaroo joeys to sit in who have lost their moms, like that they went through. So people all across the globe, and those people in England are the elderly and children, are getting involved and having that as a teaching moment that we bind together a global community and we help each other out, I think is a nice sentiment to kind of rest your head on through just a horrific amount of fires that are going on in Australia. So we're thinking about them. Shout out to all the kangaroos and all the different wildlife that's in Australia. We're thinking about you guys, especially the soldiers, sailors, and airmen and Marines over there in Australia, because they have all those too. I don't know if they have any sergeants or not yet. Does Australia
have
a space force?
Yeah. They don't have a space chief yet. Maybe that's, you know, that's the next step. That could be helpful.
Maybe. All right, let's move on to round number 6. All right, for round number 6, we're going to do a little cat chat because Catherine had a big, big weekend. Kate, tell us what happened.
Yeah, so what? Last month at some point, several weeks ago now, I moved into my own place finally. And for a long time, I've moved pretty much every single year of my life since I was 18, but I'm finally in a place where I think I'm going to be there for a while. So it's the first time in a long time I feel like settled and I feel like I'm like at home. So I've always wanted a cat. I grew up with a cat. I love them. And I started looking around, and then finally yesterday, I'm scrolling through. I kept checking the ASPCA website here. I knew I wanted to adopt a pet. I kept scrolling, but none of the cats were like, I was like, I wanted somebody a little bit older and a little bit, I don't know. So I'm scrolling and I find this cat yesterday named Spork, like a spoon and a fork combined, Spork. Uh-huh. And in his photo, he is thick with two
seeds. Such a great name. Spork is such a great name.
Spork, definite eater, big old cheeks, like really neat little face. And so
thick
boy. I say to myself, I'm like debating back and forth in chaps. I texted you. I was like, man, there's this cat, like blah, blah, blah. And you were like, do it. So I run to Tom's Pet Supply over in Astoria where I live. And I'm like, get a litter box and all this food and all this supplies and stuff just in case. Because I'm like, God forbid I get a cat and I come home, I don't have anything. So I'm like, just in case. Then I rush.
But there is no just in case. Once you buy that litter box, you're walking out the
ace. You're committed at that point.
You're walking out of that place that day with a cat. Like, you know you are.
But I knew I wanted Spork, And so I had this sense of urgency because it's Manhattan. It's the only ASPCA in all of Manhattan. And so the odds are good. Animals move pretty quick there. Odds are good. But I was like, shit. So I run and get the supplies. And it was kind of hot yesterday. I'm like sweating. I'm going to go. I'm like, oh. And then I run back downstairs. I run over to the subway. I take the subway up to, then I have to run like 7 blocks to get to 93rd Street on the Upper East Side. And I get in there and I see a son and a mom and they have this cat and this thing and they're getting ready to take him. I'm like, fuck, I bet you that Spork. It was Whispers.
You
thank
pieces
God.
Of shit.
Yeah, you pieces. And the little boy was like real annoying. I was like, oh my God, I didn't save him in time. He's stuck with this family now. Well, anyways, so that's rude. It's very nice of them to save Whispers. But I get called back and all they like live in these glass cat condos. So they can all see out the window and they're all connected by holes. So they can climb up into each other's like, it's like a little maze. It's neat. Except for one was covered in cardboard, except for a tiny heart-shaped cutout. And I'm like, who's in that one? They're like, Spork. He is having a tough go. And I was like, no. I guess the other day they said he's clumsy and he was just walking along and fell right through a hole in the cat condo. Fell right down the hole.
Yikes.
And then he like, rah! He like freaked out. So he's been in a ball in this corner of this dark little square.
Hello, darkness,
so,
my old friend.
So I was like, he's already in a bad mood. Love. I mean, if anybody loves wallowing in sadness, it is
just
me.
A couple curmudgeons.
Yeah, just a couple negative Nancys. So slowly open the thing and like, I reach in very slowly with a treat in my hand. He doesn't. He has none of it. He's so frozen. I brushed his cheek a little bit and I was like, oh, he does not. He like postured a little bit. I was like, fuck, he doesn't want to be touched. But I was like, you know what? I have a quiet apartment. This cat would absolutely hate life in a house with kids or a loud house with parties and guests. I was like, I live in a quiet little studio. If he'll have me, I will take him. And they're like, yeah, man, we just got to see if we can get him in a crate. That was a whole adventure on its own. But they got him in a crate. I took him home. I'm a cat mom now. And for the first like 7 hours, as soon as I let him out in the apartment, he went right under my bed and didn't move. Finally,
I was living for these updates yesterday.
Oh my God.
I was so into the updates.
I was sitting on my couch quietly reading a book for like 7 hours yesterday afternoon because I didn't want to bug him and I wanted to let him settle. And I was like, I'm afraid the TV will bother him. I'm afraid this and that. So like, somebody honked their horn outside. I was like, hey, I got a cat in here. Take it easy. So I was like losing my marbles. But finally, like right before I was about to finally get ready to go to bed, he came out from under the couch, started sniffing around. He hopped up on the bed. I was like, oh my God. Like, it was the craziest thing that could have ever happened.
You're crazy for this one, Spork.
Yeah. This
league, man. This league.
So I go over and I just let him sniff my hand. I start petting him a little bit. I can feel him start to purr. And then I say, I'll give him a little space. I go over back on the couch. He followed me. He sat on my lap. He's been a love bug ever since. Only two things. He has a cold right now, so I have to give him medicine. He's sneezing up a storm, and he keeps like sneezing boogers all over like all over everything. And also, he cannot stop licking his asshole.
Probably got worms, honestly.
So he's like licking his asshole and then sneezing on my face. Am I gonna get pink eye?
No, you're good. There's not very many zoonotic diseases that transfer over. You'll be fine there. But it is so special, like to have a cat. Because you were absolutely beaming in some of these pictures.
Oh, whenever, my God.
Like the videos of when he finally hopped up on your couch and was just hanging out. That's the good life, man. That's the good life.
I just felt from the first time I touched his little cheek in the ASPCA, I just felt this like, oh my God, I fucking love this guy. I cannot explain how nice he, in the middle of the night last night, he like leapt up on my chest and was like curled up with me. And I was like, this motherfucker, man. Yeah. I'm just such, if people are like, oh, you're a cat lady now. You're goddamn right. I'm hooked. So.
I mean, you've always been a cat lady. You've just been a cat lady sans cat.
Yeah. So I'm just really excited. It's nice to have a little critter when you come home to... Besides a cactus, you know, living the good
life. Wow.
Talk to it so you're not talking to yourself.
Yeah. I was this morning. I was like, all right, grab me old backpack-a-rooney, putting on my shoes. And it was like, I'm talking to the cat, not me. So great times.
So this will be the first time, like when you get home from work, that he's just alone in your apartment by yourself, right?
Yes.
Are you like afraid like you're going to come back to like a nightmare situation or a disaster? Like maybe you can't find him. He like found a way to get out or.
He does look a little murdery. But he's microchipped and he has a collar with like my phone number on it. So okay. In case he does skitter a boat, I'll know where he is.
I think he'll be okay. Cats are pretty like low maintenance by themselves. I think they just like to sleep and hang out and things like that. So,
but I'm super excited though. And I mean, come on. He's a big C cat. I'm a big V veteran. It just sounds perfect.
He is. He's thick with two C's for sure. All right. We're happy for you, Kate. And lots of ugly talk from Bryn and Connor, even on Twitter, during the whole thing, having to shit on cats and rain on Kate's parade. Just keep those thoughts to yourself, Bryn. What is wrong with you?
Cons, do you have anything to say about that?
No, he doesn't. He's going to be quiet about it right now. He should have been quiet last night. Whenever we were going through cats, I had the same thoughts earlier in my life, like Bryn and Connor did, about cats are the worst and things like that, because I was a dog handler forever. So I was definitely on team dog. I'm still on team dog. Like, if you ask me if I like dogs better or cats better, definitely dogs. But cats, I think cats are kind of like a lavender bath. Like, at first, like, as a dude, you have these different ideas that you're not supposed to like cats, that they're not manly, they're not this or that. But like a lavender bath, once you actually give in to the world's pressures about what a man should be, you love a good lavender bath. And if you allow yourself, gentlemen, to have a cat sit on your lap while you're drinking a nice cup of coffee, having a little book, and you just reach down, pet between their ears a couple times and just let them on their way. There is nothing like it. It is a lovely afternoon that you could spend with the cat. Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kate, what do you got?
What an episode. We got Starman. We got cats. That's pretty much it. The Big V veteran thing made me laugh this weekend, just seeing everybody online on Twitter. Other than that, though.
Poor Patch has got to feel silly. Like, if he's like, oh, man, people are going to be real happy with me. And everybody's like, what the fuck, Patch?
Yeah. Okay, Patch. I mean, any other name, but Patch, get out of here, buddy. I mean, no disrespect to your service or anything, but no, I don't think I really have anything. Bryn?
No, I don't have anything, Cons.
Nothing. Right.
I don't think I have anything either. Sound the retreat.
We have 6 rounds in the magazine. Round number 1, one capital V veteran is spending his time on something really worthwhile. He will not rest until the Associated Press style guides rights their wrongs and makes the word veteran a proper noun. Round number 2, liberal vultures are doing everything they can to stop the border wall from being built. They are shitting and pissing their asses all over radio and stuff. What does that mean?
Okay, I'll do it. Shitting and pissing their asses. You never heard that phrase?
No, I love it.
Okay. Do round 2 again.
Round number 2, liberal vultures are doing everything they can to stop the border wall from being built. They are shitting and pissing their asses all over radio. Oh, fuck, all over a radio tower in South Texas. Round number 2, liberal vultures are doing everything they can to stop the border wall from being built. They are shitting and pissing their asses all over a radio tower in South Texas. What does that mean? A shit ton. Round number 3, NASA just introduced the newest graduates. God, oh, poor Bryn. Should I just start over?
You get one more.
Okay.
And then we're starting from the top.
Round number 3, NASA just introduced the newest graduates from their astronaut school. If that's what... Is that... What's it's called? Is that what it's called?
Okay.
Sorry. It's yeah. Astronaut school? All right. Round number 1, capital V veteran. A capital V veteran.
Chaps, please, for the love of God.
Okay, I'll do it. Here you go.
No, give me one more shot. Give me one more shot.
All right, we'll try again next time.
Yeah, try again next week.
An attempt was made. I'm a new mom. I'm allowed. This is what happens when I don't slowly read.
Lack of sleep, honestly. All right, here we go.
I was up very late. He's licking his asshole, sneezing on my face.
Oh, my God.